Freddie, just picture this. It's Monday evening. I'm doing my weekly food shop. I'm in Waitrose wearing my barber face mask. I'm about to buy chicken chunks and the person next to me realises that, hold on, is that Lash Banter 10? I pull down my face mask and I start saying, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. Because we're in Waitrose by Clapham Common, everybody starts to realise, oh my God, the chief chat officer, the CEO of Clapham's here. They all follow me to the boozer where I'm buying Slimline Tonic and Gin, and they all start singing, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. All of a sudden, the head of Waitrose, Clapham Common, comes over and goes, can everyone just stop? I say, hold on, mate, I'm the CEO of Clapham, do you mind? He goes, oh, sorry, I didn't mind. Can I give you a discount? I say, yes. He suddenly starts singing, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. And everyone joins in and they're all singing, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. And then basically, that's how I'll end up getting 20% off all my shopping at Waitrose.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 7 of the RigBiz podcast. My name is Freddie Clodden,
We've
as always.
We've got one more day. One more day. We've got one more day.
What the hell are you on?
We've got one more day.
What are you on about, Archie?
The gyms are opening, mate. 25th of July. Rigs can commence. I can't wait to get my hands on some of that equipment.
I thought you were enjoying the external workouts.
Yeah, I am, but I just can't wait to get in the gym, get a good sweat on, and just have some good old gym banter. I just can't wait to go to someone and say, sorry, mate, I'm using that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that is just such good chat. Sorry, mate. You were actually not doing that correctly. Or someone comes over to you and go, are you using that? Yep. Are you using that? Yeah. Mate, I'm doing supersets. Do you mind? Some of the greatest business introductions I've had are in the gym.
Really?
Yeah.
Not in the showers or in the gym?
Just after I've had a shower, I'll be there, leg up on the bench, just, you know, drying myself.
Talcum powder.
I'm normally looking in the mirror. Just because I get a lot of good pump after the gym. And I'll just talking to a guy, you know, he might come over and say, I saw you on the bench press. And I'll be like, yeah, so it's one of my main equipments. And we get talking and I figure out he works for Barclays. And, a meeting immediately happens at the Ned. I say, listen, let me get your details. How about we meet for a bit of a thirsty Thursday drink at the Ned?
Well,
he'll say, oh, mate, I don't drink in a week. I'd be like, neither do I. Connection.
What was your weekend like? Did you behave yourself? I saw that you were planning on not doing much, but then
I had
a couple of missed calls.
I was trying to get hold of you because I saw you were obviously in Northcote Road.
Oh, mate, they've pedestrianised it. You said go down there and check it out the week before, so I went down this weekend.
Where were you? I messaged you on your phone on the because obviously you run the RigBiz podcast. I messaged you and said, mate, where are you?
I was at the draft.
And I would have gone directly because you follow me, so I'd have gone directly to you.
I was at the draft house.
Right.
And I saw a lot of Clapham Falcon merch down on the Northcote, which was great to see.
Yeah, well, I've been doing a lot of work down there.
Ran into Whistley and The Bachelor, remind me of his name.
Alex Marks.
Yeah, sorry, how could I forget?
Reality TV royalty.
Yeah, they were both down at Archer Street.
Were they all getting on the old...
Yeah, surprised. He said that were you not...
Yeah, well, I messaged those guys as well. But yeah. I think something, I don't know what's going on.
It's a bit like when you go to a sporting event at a stadium and so many people are trying to connect to the sort of signal that no one gets any phone signal.
Yeah.
I think that was a problem. There are thousands of people down there getting the lash that we, yeah.
It's a shame because I would have really liked to go down there because I reckon I would have got recognised quite a lot.
So what did you do?
I just stayed at home, just had some eggs, broccoli and chicken and kept it pretty quiet.
Bit of lines.
You know what I did actually, Freddie?
What was that?
I just polished all, like, just got all the gym equipment out and just like cleaned it all just for, you know, a big week of pre-C. So I got all my kettlebells out, polished it, wiped it down.
Sanitized.
Yeah. And obviously put some stuff away because obviously gyms are opening on the 25th.
Yeah.
So I'll be back doing home workouts and in the gym, double workouts.
So Archie, you know, obviously it didn't work out with Maman, Mummy, whatever you had to call her in the end.
Yeah.
But obviously you're sticking to your guns and you're going, I want to find that wife. We're running out of time, mate.
We're not. No. We've got plenty of time.
Well, not really. We've got four.
Listen, mate, when you're playing rugby and you're 3 points down and you've got a minute to go, you know, you're the kind of guy in the team I don't need. I need someone who's going to be like, we can still win this, boys.
What, you can still drop goal it from the 20?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well...
It wouldn't be a drop goal. I'd have to get a try. I'd say, boys, just give me the pill.
3 points isn't enough for you?
Yeah.
You want to win out?
I'd either get the try or create the try.
Well...
I'd say, Pikey, I'm calling Pelagoni Club. And he knows what that is. It's CrossFit kick. And I'd probably put it straight in his hands. He'd get the try. But afterwards, I'd be like, well... I gifted
you created
it.
Them.
Yeah, I'm trying to develop a move at the moment where I crossfield kick to myself.
Whoa!
Yeah,
that would be impressive.
Yeah, I'm working at the moment. Worked a lot on it on the weekend and on the common.
You're sort of the Michael Jordan of your team, aren't you? Everything revolves around you.
Yeah. They have said that.
And emotionally, you're deeply unstable.
No. I'm really, really stable.
Well, Archie, back on the message. We've got
you wouldn't be a good businessman if you're not stable.
We've got 4 weeks.
I don't know any good businessmen out there that are unstable. I think you'll find a lot of the guys who are successful in the city are thoroughbreds. You know, they are stable, if you get my drift.
Well, we've still got 4 weeks to get your wife. You know, the facts aren't changing. Yeah, you can call it a month, 4 weeks, whatever you want. Yeah. The truth is, we're running out of time. So I've decided, let's get on more than one girl. We've got a couple of girls who are coming on for a speed dating. Little interaction with you.
Yeah.
You guys have a bit of pitter-patter. And then hopefully you can pick one of them.
Here comes the express chain.
Did you not say you're going on holiday next week?
Yeah, I'm going on holiday.
Whereabouts? South of France?
Well, South of France, yeah.
South of France. Just by yourself at the moment?
Well, I'm hoping to take someone there. That's the plan. So I'm out dating quite a lot this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe one of these lucky girls, if they sort of flip the right buttons.
They play their cards right, yeah. Why not?
Should we get them on?
Yeah, let's go. And they called it puppy love. Oh, I guess they'll never know.
Olivia.
Chica.
Hello.
How are you doing, Olivia?
Oh, hello, boys. How are we?
Your voice sounds so sexy.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks, Archie. So does yours. I listen to you all the time.
Yeah. No, I get that quite a lot. Just out of interest, where do your family live?
So, predominantly, we're in Somerset.
Okay.
That's where I went to school. And then we have a place in Clapham, actually, in Clapham Common. So.
Okay.
Is that where you're based?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Whereabouts in Clapham?
Abbeville Road.
Okay, and what number? Okay, cool. I might pop over tonight.
I look forward to it. Give me a heads up, though, first.
Yeah, well, probably not tonight because I need to shave my body, but maybe tomorrow night I'll let you know.
Great, I look forward to it.
Olivia, can you just give us a 90-second or 30-second pitch to Archie? Why do you want to go on a date with him?
Why do you want to be my wife? That's the main question.
I mean, if we're both in Clapham, I feel like that's a pretty good start, don't you?
I think it's an excellent start. are you willing to sell... Wait, on a serious note, are you willing to sell this flat? Because I'm looking to buy a 4-bed.
Oh, no, I'm fully expecting the pool... Okay, at least 4 bedrooms.
Okay, perfect. Wait. Have you got any siblings?
I do. I have an older brother and a younger sister.
Right, so they want a third of your flat.
Since when? Why?
Well, that's obvious. I mean, this could be a disaster. I mean, the flat at
Tops... It was going so well.
The flat
as well.
At Tops is going to be, what, 800? 900?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you split that in three ways. I mean... That's not going to put towards my million. I need... Okay, but carry on. Okay, it potentially... I mean, you sound lovely, Olivia, but just thinking about the finances. Do you think your parents would like me?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. What do you think they'd like about me?
I mean, evidently you're great with chat.
Yeah.
So you'll woo my mum.
Yep. Got the old chat.
And my brother... My brother's a personal trainer, so I don't know if that entices you at all. You know, you guys could work out together.
I like that. It means Christmas time, we can do a bit of a rig biz. I like that, okay?
100%.
He knows his way around a kettlebell. I like that.
Oh, yeah. He used to play rugby as well for Leicester.
Okay. This could work well. We could throw the pill around, okay?
Yeah,
100%. What kind of, you know, do you keep yourself in good shape?
Oh, I mean, I like to think I do. I ran a half marathon in March, so I try and work out and keep fit. Do you know, I've never crossed it, actually, but I would like to.
Well, the problem is, if I start CrossFitting, I take it pretty seriously, but also I sweat quite profusely, and that has been known to get the ladies quite excited. And, you know, again, I'm looking for a wife. I'm not looking for a one-night stand. Although, I can do one-night stands. I don't know. Olivia, I will consider you. You sound delicious. Love and champagne.
I mean, do you know what, Archie? I know you know the Saracen boys quite well. And so do I. So I feel like actually we'll all have a good night out together.
I'm guessing you're on LinkedIn.
Of course.
Okay. Well, connection incoming.
Right. Cheers, Livy. Thank you so much for coming on, Livy. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love and champagne. Bye. Love and champagne. L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see.
V is very, very... So, Archie, just for a bit of background, Bashaya is based in Dubai, working out there.
Oh, dupes, dupes, dupes. I do love dupes.
I know.
So, Bashaya, can you please sell yourself to Mr. Archie Cousins for a date?
I don't think I really need to sell myself. I have a really high basic salary.
Oh, okay. Tick. I'm guessing you know I'm pretty big in Dubai. A lot of the people know me there, not just in the business world, but in the rugby world.
30,000 followers, yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I have, just over 30,000 followers. I think it's roughly around 30,300, but who's counting? I don't know. That's more than they can fill in the stoop. Just so you know, obviously I'm a CEO of Clapham. I'm the chief chat officer. I'm probably the biggest influencer in Clapham. How would you feel about going out with, you know, pretty much a celebrity?
Oh, yeah. Overwhelmed. Gosh.
Yeah. Is that going to be a problem? You're going to be too overwhelmed? You know, when I'm out in dubs and people asking for photos?
I think I'd look really good next to you.
I'm just going to have a look at you on the screen. Okay. Oh, yeah, you do. You're very, very attractive, very exotic. Yeah, okay. And do you think your family would like me and accept me for your husband?
They'd love you. You're super funny.
Okay. I know. I've got great banter. And would I have to move out to Dubai to be with you? I mean, it's not a problem. It is a second home for me, but I do think I'd miss Infernos. I think I'd miss Clapham. Would you consider coming to Clapham?
Very similar to Infernos. It's called Drop Bottom.
Drop Bottom, yeah. I'd be. That's decent. Yeah. I love that place. I mean, the distance is a bit of a problem. I'm looking to get married in the next 4 weeks.
That's all right. I have the money ready for the mortgage for our four-bedroom apartment in Clapham.
House, not apartment, but yeah, okay, that sounds decent. Okay, I'm keen for this. Do you want to come out to south of France next week and, you know, we can see how it all goes?
Yeah, why not?
So we're pretty big in Dubai, are we?
Yeah, we're massive.
Yeah, big everywhere.
Yeah, I'm big everywhere.
Let's hope you're big down there.
Yeah, well, if you've seen those photos, they're not true. Someone's photoshopped that. That's not true. But yeah, no, I'm at boarding school, Mr. Matthews always said I was pretty adequate.
Oh, okay. I'll take his word then.
Bash, I can't wait. I think this is it.
South of
France. I'll see you there next week.
Yeah.
See you next week. Well, I won't be there, but Archie will.
You can come if you want, Fred.
No, I'm okay. Thanks, mate.
Oh, yes, please. Everyone just got a bit of a snippet into what it's like to be out with the old chief chat officer there.
Were you and Bash?
I was pulling the strings at 10.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to take Bash away?
Yeah, she was.
Exotic. Well, I will send her a message.
The thing I like about Bash, Freddie, is that I could just see her on my arm. Looking absolutely spectacular. I'll be wearing sort of some white jeans, a black V-neck t-shirt, tight, ripped around my arms, and she'd be probably wearing something quite sort of revealing. But obviously not too much, because you're in Dubai. But we'd be the big, big couple in Dubai.
So, Archie, we've got an incredibly special guest on the podcast today.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
I'm really excited as well. I mean, we've been bringing some really, really big names to the podcast this season. But this one is, I think, the most fascinating yet.
Big Jim.
Big Jim Hamilton, the melted wheelie bin. He is, he was, you know, a crazily impressive rugby player in many different ways, but also...
The guy's got C-H-A-T, chat.
In capital letters.
Yeah.
The guy's huge. Archie, you've actually got something in common with Jim, alongside being a, you know, podcaster, personality, influencer, and also an ex-rugby...
Well, and businessman.
And businessman, and a rugby player. Also, your chairman of your rugby club bought you flats.
Yeah, my dad. But that's something, look, I'm sure Jim doesn't want to go into it, neither do I. If I'm being honest, Fred.
Oh, sorry, mate. All right.
Yeah.
Well, should we get one?
Yeah, let's get him. I can't. I actually cannot wait. This is going to be serious chat.
Oh, flower of Scotland, when will we see your like again? That fought and died.
Jim, can you hear us?
I can. How are you, lads? You all right?
Yeah, all good.
So, Jim, you know, I'm fascinated. You've had an incredible career. You're a multi-talented man. And especially sort of towards the latter end of your career, post the plane days. But how does a man growing up on a council estate in Coventry with his mother's Chinese family end up gaining 63 international caps for Scotland and countless trophies along the way?
I think that's what most people were asking when they were watching me play. How is this bloke playing rugby, let alone international rugby? I don't know, mate. You jumped straight into the life story. It's not a simple one. It's not like Chris Robshaw's. I was listening to the podcast with him. That you did. I think my story is very different to his. As
old,
old
Chris Chatshaw.
Oh, mate, he had a bit of chat, didn't he? Mate, he's still playing, isn't he? I'm sure he's going to write a book when he's retired. That's why he didn't give you too much.
No, he's keeping some stuff back. He needs to sell. He needs to still bring in the coin, I suppose.
Yeah. Mate, he does. Yeah, but no, look, my story is, you know, it is quite different. I grew up in Coventry. People don't know Coventry. It's just north of the Hebrides in Scotland. So that's where the Scottishness comes from. But yeah, and people don't believe me either. And I don't know whether you can say China at the minute in this day and age, but I can, because apparently I'm a quarter Chinese. So a lot of people were like, how did you know you were Chinese? How do you know you're a quarter Chinese? I said, well, you know, I grew up in a council estate in Coventry. My mum worked in a shoe shop and we lived above a chip shop, and we had a Chinese lady in the house, and I knew we couldn't afford a cleaner or a maid, and I had to call her Nan, so I presume she was my Nan, and it turns out she really was. So a quarter Chinese
sounds very similar to my upbringing, Jim.
Mate, I can tell by the accent, mate.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah. I've never been to Coventry, but how do you think I'd get on? Because obviously I'm a big fan of the Rugby Pod. I was sort of keen to sort of try a test drive Samoan Joe's. Is it quite similar to Inferno's?
I've got to be honest, right? So listening to your podcast back and you're talking about Clapham, obviously you're the CEO and it's an absolute honour to be on here.
Yeah, you're welcome.
With greatness is, I don't think I've ever been to Clapham. I've been to Inferno's once, I think, but sober, I don't think I've ever been to Clapham.
No, you're joking. But you play, you're like a rugby man through and through. Clapham is the home of rugby lads. A lot of I thought being at Saracens, you would have come down and enjoyed the delights of Inferno's.
Mate, I think I've been there once after an international, and I'm more of a Hackney man. I don't know why. Maybe it's a bit more edgy, a bit more gritty. I've never been to Hackney either, but I see myself as more of a Hackney man.
I can see you in Hackney, Jim. I was also fascinated to read that you're part of the Harry Potter universe, unbelievably. I mean, when J.K. Rowling described you as a squib masquerading as a muggle, how the fuck did that come about?
Well, bizarrely, maybe not bizarrely if you're friends with Joe, a.k.a. J.K. Rowling, mate, it was a weird one. Came out of nowhere, really. So my relationship with J.K. Rowling stemmed from an international match playing for Scotland. She was watching it on TV. And it was one of them Braveheart things where we were down by about 20 points, but I weren't giving up the fight. And I had blue paint from the RBS branding that was on the pitch all over my face. You could see my eyeballs. I had blood coming out of my ears, my nose and everywhere. And I just looked hard as nails. And still crap, mind. Still gave away about 6 penalties and lost us the game single-handedly. But she liked what she saw and she reached out and she tweeted me after the game. And like the lads do in these millennials do now, scrolling through their phone straight after the game, see what the comments are. I didn't see it. And then the lads are like, Jim, have you seen Twitter? You know, J.K. Rowling's tweeted you. And then naturally, I gave her a follow, just thanked her for her support. And we've been mates ever since. And And
are you connected with her on LinkedIn?
Possibly. She's probably tried to interact with me, but, you know, LinkedIn's just business. I know that's your world.
Yeah. That Archie. I was going to say, that's a bloody good connection there. That's a really good connection to have. Is she your most famous follower?
Man, I've got some weird followers, right? So, you know, you look through, and then I don't know, actually, if you're lucky enough to have a verified tick yet. You will do on Instagram.
I'm working on it.
Well, let me know, because when you get that, you are somebody, apparently. So what I do, I don't even look who's following me now unless they've got a blue tick, which is verified. And I was going through, I've got some weird ones. Not some weird ones. David Walliams, Tyson Fury.
That's decent.
David Price, the boxer. Man, I got a couple of cricketers as well. Man, I don't follow cricket, but you know, I know they're into their rugby and their banter as well. I love that's why. But mate, J.K. Rowling is the one, isn't she, Joe? She's just, mate, we're just good friends. You know, we message and, you know, we meet up for coffee and stuff like that. It's just two Scottish, you know, humble greats. You know, just going about our day-to-day business and living life.
Well, Jim, talking about good friends, you're famously part of a power couple with Goody on the Rugby Pod. But what are your first memories of a young tubby Goody when you were both growing up trying to make a name for yourselves in rugby?
I've got to say, before we go on to that, Fred, I'm slightly disappointed that I haven't been invited on the Rugby Pod yet. I mean, House of Rugby, I'm a regular guest. Rugby Pod, I haven't had anything back. What's going on there?
Blue ticks, mate.
What are your first memories of a young tubby Goody?
Goody's mum was my teacher at school, so I've known Goody since I was 12 or 13. And his story is very different to mine as well, probably similar to yourself, Archie. It's probably a similar trajectory. But he was went to the same school as my wife, which is a private school in Coventry, which was very different to mine. But his mum was my teacher at school, and everyone knew that her son, which had two sons, Matt as well, played a bit of cricket at a high level, but Goody being the one, Andy, but he was very good at rugby, and she always used to talk about him. And genuinely, one day she turned around to me at 16 and said, oh, she used to call me Jimmy. That was my name at school. I changed it to Jim. It sounds a lot more regal. But she said, Jimmy, what do you want to do when you finish school? You're wasting your life. And I said, well, I've thought about rugby as well. I'm at the 14th at Barkerbutts in Coventry, and, you know, work behind the bar, and I'm 6'9" with my heels. I fit the profile. And she said, no chance. And she started showing pictures and videos of Goody playing rugby, and then fast forward two or three years later, mate, I'm with him on the same pitch. This guy with a long mane, bold bit at the front, but I tell you what, the bugger could play rugby. And I just remember one of the first stories in pre-season where you obviously want to come back in really good nick. I know the Falcons are in pre-season soon, are they?
We're in pre-season at the moment. We've just got a new head coach, Tom May. Don't know if you know Tom.
I saw that. I've seen it. I've been following it.
We're in pre-season at the moment, so I'm on the shred. I'm actually on a juice diet this week, just cutting back on the poundage. Goody, I sort of keep myself in seriously nick. I'm also part of a CrossFit team called the Chassis Monsters.
I've seen that. I've heard that, mate. I do keep up to date with your stuff, mate.
It's good to know.
Well, it is, mate. And you're the polar opposite to what Goody was. And you get that. And you'll see in pre-season, you get an array of different talent, obviously, naturally. But you get guys who've taken it seriously. Like we heard Bowden Barrett down in the Southern Hemisphere came back and got a PB on this Bronco test or whatever it is. And, you know, you've got Richard Barrington at Saracens who's put on 5 stone over lockdown at not good weight. Goody would be in that kind of mould in terms of he'd rock up to pre-season having been to Dubes or Marbs, what it was back then, and he wouldn't be in great shape. But I remember this one time we were doing hill sessions at Leicester. We had this guy called Tom Varndell. I don't know if you remember. He was an Adonis on the wing, shredded. And all the backs had to do it with their shirts off because it almost showed them up if they'd come back in horrendous nick. And I remember Tom Varndell takes his shirt off and starts running up these hills. And there must have been about 10 or 15. Let's just say it was 30 hill sprints. And after the first one, he's absolutely hanging. Looked amazing. And Goody's running up this hill with his shirt off, like with these udders literally dangling down by the side. And it was him and Austin Healey at the very end fighting it out to see who was king of the hill. And Goody beat him. Wow. And that's my memory of him, that a guy that was in horrendous shape, but he was one of the fittest, one of the quickest, and one of the best lads in the team, actually. So he was just one of them guys that you all hate.
I see a lot of myself in Goody. He's, you know, I don't have Johnny Wilkerson on my wall. I actually have a photo of Goody because he's a man with chat. He's got a pretty good lid. Well, he used to have quite a good lid. And also, he's a businessman. He's a man after my own heart. He's a real hero. I hope one day I'll get to meet him. I'd love to have a lunch with him at the Ned.
he's all about verified though, mate. Unless you're verified and unless you're a somebody, mate, he ain't interested. That's just how he lives his life. He is like, I'm Louis Vuitton handbags. He's Louis Vuitton. He's the four noise.
Yeah, I need to work on my approach to them. I think it's going to have to go through LinkedIn. I might have to send him sort of my Ned membership in the post just so he knows, you know, that I'm a big gun. Obviously not on Instagram, but on LinkedIn, I'm kind of verified on that.
Well, Jim, talking about your wife going to school with Goody, I read that your wife was an ex-international, ex-under 18 and under 21 netball player. It sort of, you know, was amazing because Archie's trying to find a wife at the moment and has a soft spot for the netball girls, but can't quite convert when sort of push comes to shove. So from a guy who's been able to convert, marry and have, I think, four kids you've got with her now, what would your advice be to Archie to sort of go that step further?
Well, firstly, mate, what's happened to that old duck? Elder duck.
I've had to bin that, Jimmy. I'm now back on the apps, but yeah, I had to let her go. It got too...
Why?
Well, I think she saw me as her son in some aspects. She kept wanting me to call her mummy. And although it was fun at first, I just don't know whether that can be a wife.
She took Archie back for supper. They had sex for 93 minutes and then she tucked
it him. Wasn't sex for 93 minutes. Sex for 3 minutes. And then the 90 minutes was... I got my mouth hurt. I sort of just put it that way.
Oh, sorry. Of course, she was calling you Henry the Hoover before she tucked you in her own son's bed.
Yeah.
So I think that's what creeped him out a bit, Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate. Look, I don't know how this new kind of, you know, Tinder, Grindr, Blinder, whatever it's called, works. You need to get on that celeb one, and that's how Tom Evans. Yeah, Raya. That's
well,
the Mikey
Tom
Raya
Evans.
One.
Oh, he is well. Tom Evans and Nicole Scherzinger are my favourite celebrity couple. They're incredible. I tell you what, I'm quite keen to have a weekend with Max Evans.
Yeah. I mean, that one would be, interesting.
Yeah. I reckon he'd be great fun on a Clapham night out with the Clapham Falcons.
I think the day after, mate, the beer fear will be as high as you've ever had it. But yeah. That's kind of just what I think. I think when you're in it, you'd be like, this is unbelievable. The next day you'd wake up like a scene out of a Hangover movie and you'd be wondering, you know, should you, would you? Maybe you're right. Maybe it is. Maybe that's the way forward. Commercial
break. Good evening, Judith. It's your husband, Johnston King Thompson. This afternoon, I took a risk on the FTSE and I lost everything. I'm afraid we're going to have to remortgage the house. Double down. I'm sorry, darling. We're going to have to move to Stockwell. Calm down, Judith. I'm going to work this out. Hey, what are you doing? Don't come near me. Hey, put that knife down. Judith! Judith, please, no!
Don't let your life end with a FTSE fuck-up. Why take the risk? Come invest with professionals now through the AC Limited app. Available on all app stores.
So, Jim, you obviously represented Leicester, Edinburgh, Gloucester and Montpellier. What was your experience in France like? Did it get pretty loose out there?
I've got quite a funny story when I was in France. So I was at Montpellier at the time, bit of a weird club, loads of weird folk, loads of French people, they're all weird, playing there. But I got quite pally with a guy called Vinand Olivier. He's a South African centre. I'll speed through the story. He was really keen. He was similar to Goody, only likes verified people. And he wanted to go to the Monaco Grand Prix. And naturally, he came to me and asked me if I've got any contacts. Naturally, I have. So anyway, went to the Monaco GP, ended up not going with him because he'd found someone else to go with on a boat or something more exclusive, so he thought. So I ventured to Monaco on my own. And my mate was a fuelman for Mar Russia, the Formula One team. So he managed to talk me out some passes. And weirdly, you spoke about Max Evans there. When I turned up in Monaco, I'm walking around and Max is there. He's like, Jim, and you know what you do when you're in Monaco or anywhere good, you bang it on Instagram, right?
So you've got your very best life there.
So I've taken a selfie of me by the chicane, banged it on Instagram, look at me, loving life in my vest and jeans. Max Evans has rang me and said, mate, where are you? I'm like, I'm by the chicane. He's like, mate, I'm on a boat. Do you want to come on? I was like, yeah, of course I do. So fast forward, next thing, I'm on Max Evans's cousin's boat, which is Chris Evans. Yeah, ginger-haired Chris Evans. They're cousins, not just namesake.
What a combination.
And Mate, exactly. What a combination. I'm on there with... So Jeremy Clarkson was on there. Obviously, Chris Evans was on there. Sir Ian Hunter, one of the richest guys. Sir Tom Hunter, the richest guy in Scotland, was on there. Noel Edmonds was on there. David Coulthard was... Mate, all of us who were verified, we were all on there, mate.
How loose did it get?
To the point where I woke up in the morning spooning Noel Edmonds, smelling his hair. That's how loose it got. All I remember was waking up on this sofa, this U sofa, wearing these boat shoes that didn't belong to me. They're about size 10 or my size 15. And I'm spooning Noel Edmonds. I'm like, is this real? And the main smelt amazing. It was real. And that happened. That really happened.
Jim, you famously had a big fallout with Vern Cotter, a big spat in the tunnel with Haskell. Do you have any other big fallouts or spats or, you know, things which you haven't sort of unveiled to the wider world yet?
Yeah, I think naturally, this is one of these things, right? So when you retire, there's a bit of time for reflection. And it was interesting listening to Robbo, and I know you're trying to do a bit of digging on the Stuart Lancaster thing and all the stuff that came out about Burgess and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Is when you're in a team environment, now it'd be very different at the Falcons, I'm sure, because everyone just... they're just all up for the banter. And
yeah,
there if you
it
were,
is but... just bloody good chat. We're all just come together. Everyone enjoys a bum funnel, put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's not like that in all teams, you know what I mean? Because you've got a lot of testosterone-fueled athletes. You know, some people are in there for different reasons. And I found that quite interesting when I was at Saracens, actually, that they were trying to manage all these different personalities, you know, not just the rock stars and everything that comes with that and success and pressure. You're actually trying to manage people's egos and really big personalities. And, you know, on one end of the spectrum, you had Owen Farrell. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you had myself and Scott Brits. I just remember the interactions were quite interesting, actually. Like, I could just see that Owen didn't like me, right? Just didn't like me for whatever reason. Him and Scott Brits didn't really get on. And we just couldn't work out why. And I can't go into too much detail. Maybe we'll do this when you get a blue tick, Archie. We can talk about it properly.
Sure.
But I just remember being in a meeting once and there was a big kind of debate of what we were all there for, right? Now, Owen had taken a bit of offence. And again, I'll come back to the story. I kind of understand Owen Farrell more now that I've retired. I've watched The Last Dance, you know, and you get these kind of individuals in team environments that are just all about winning, right? They're all about performance. They're all about winning day in, day out, get better incrementally and all that. And I look back on my career, maybe I should have done more of that, but I didn't. I was kind of more balanced in my approach, and Scott Brits was the polar opposite. Scott Brits at Saracens, winning wasn't his number one driver. Having a good time and friendship and love and all the fluffy stuff around it, if he had all them things, that contributed to him performing at the weekend. So it's the polar opposite of Owen, right? And I just remember being in some of these heated discussions where we hadn't played well, and I remember we did this one exercise 1 week after losing two games on the bounce over Christmas. So I was playing them, Newcastle away and Gloucester away. And the England lads had been in Dubai or somewhere, probably skiing or something. And we come back and we had this kind of crisis meeting. I remember sat in the room and the coaches said, right, we want to know what makes everyone tick. Again, speeding through the story. Stand up, stand over to my left if you're here solely to win. And winning's your number one focus. So Owen gets up and walks straight over to that side. And then you go to the right if you're just here to have a good time. Now, you couldn't be in the middle, right? I would have been in the middle. Scott Brits gets up and walks over to that side. And it was amazing watching the split. It's like, which way do you go? Like, do you want to be seen as a winner? Do you want to be seen as someone's just here to have a good crack? Well, I've gone up and I've walked over to the good crack side. And, you know, George Cruz, he's gone over to winning side. I'm like, mate, I know you don't believe that. You're just going that way because, you know, England Lions and all that kind of shit that goes with it.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting, actually, watching the split of such a successful team that probably, you know, 70% of the team was there to have a good time. And the rest of them were solely, not the rest of them, the small majority were there solely just to win. It didn't necessarily mean that the guys over there didn't want to have a good time, the guys over the other side didn't want to win. You had to choose a side. And I thought it was really interesting because when you're working in these team environments, and I know we're getting a bit noisy here, is you have to be able to understand guys that you're playing with, right? So
yeah.
if Scott Brits comes in after a game and win, lose or draw, all he's bothered about is enjoying his time there, then Owen needs to understand that that's the way that he operates. And Scott Brits needs to also understand that if you're not trying hard or you're slightly late for training and you walk out in your UGG slippers and you look like you're not bothered, that's going to piss Owen off. And I think when you're in that environment, that was the first time that we had them kind of honesty chats where you could actually be who you wanted to be and express that. And when I was in it, I found it really uncomfortable because I'd never been in an environment like that. But actually, in hindsight, you know, I've got ultimate respect for Owen Farrell for being that honest and that direct, as I have for Scott Brits as well, for being comfortable to be saying them things, you know, in amongst us world-class athletes.
That kind of takes me back to last season at Clapham Falcons. Our hooker, Wetter, good bloke, not in great shape, but he you know, wears his heart on his sleeve. He was going through a terrible divorce. We'd been on tour, and funny enough, you saying about the stag, we went on tour, and I filmed a lot of the stuff that he actually got muddled up with a Romanian prostitute, and it got all over Instagram, and he lost his wife and kid, which was really sad. I remember at the end of last season, you know, he wasn't performing, and I actually went round to his house, and you know, I asked him what's important to you, and he said his wife and kids. I said, well, apart from that, what else is important to you about the weekend? He said, I just want to have a good time. And what I realised is that he loved playing rugby, but what he really liked was the couple of Guinnesses, and he had to down a pint of milk after every game. And if you keep doing that to him, he really did enjoy it. And he just enjoyed the banter that came with it. He loves getting debagged. He loves doing a bun funnel. And I think that's the mentality. I kind of realised what made him tick. It never really got back. He never got his kids or his wife back. It was actually quite sad. He's in terrible shape at the moment. I don't think he'll play this season, which is sad because rugby's the only thing he's actually got. That's sort of very similar to Brits and Owen Farrell.
It sounds very similar. I mean, I've never seen Owen Farrell do a butt funnel, I'll be honest, but I'm sure...
A bum funnel. I would love to... I mean, I personally don't think me and Faz would get on very well. We're... Two fly halves, you know, with big egos. I've got great hair, great chat, and Faz seems to have a haircut like a Lego man, and not too sure he'd be fun on a night out. But I'd love to get him out and get him to do a bum funnel.
Jim, we ask all our guests, just to finish off, what's the greatest moment in your career to date, and also the lowest? Obviously, excluding family, friends, and all that rubbish. What is the greatest moment, and then the lowest?
Oh. I'd say, you know, when I sum up my Scotland career, I always say that there weren't many good days playing for Scotland, but there were some great days. Now, I know I'd love to give you kind of one kind of thing, but there was a few. We beat Ireland in 2010 at Croke Park. I should have got man of the match. Let's just say that I did. You know, making my debut against Romania was good, but it wasn't hugely momentous for me the way it came round. A big game for me was playing against Australia on my 50th cap, and I'd had my son JJ by then, and being out on the pitch with him at Murrayfield when the lights were off and all the emotion around that, that's a memory that sticks out. But you know what the best memory for me was, ironically, ironically and quite funny, was my last game. My last game, ironically, was at Murrayfield, playing for Saracens in the European Cup final. I was on the bench, of course I was, because it was a final. I got on for 2 minutes, and... you know, I'd played a large part of that campaign, so I felt as if I deserved to be on the pitch. It wasn't a John Terry moment, as much as we kind of joke about it, but it was that kind of feeling of relief that I knew once that final whistle had gone and we'd won Europe, that I wasn't going to play rugby again. And I know it sounds quite weird, but the kind of pain and the kind of work and everything that I put in, and to have my family there, and to be in Scotland, a place where I played 10 years for Scotland, had so many memories, to look up, it isn't that deep, it's not, I'm not religious or anything like that, but I just looked up and realised that I'd done everything that I've kind of could have possibly done with the rig that I had, and all the emotion that I had. And I just, you know, for me, I get goosebumps talking about it. That kind of energy that you feel being a rugby player and being on the pitch, there's nothing that can beat it. But for me, it was actually... knowing when the time was right, and that's something that sticks out for me.
I can't wait to have that moment. I feel like that probably won't be in the pitch. That'll be when I'm sort of 60 years old at the Ned, and I've just done my last business deal, and I look up probably just while I'm having a flute of champagne by the swimming pool, and I just realise, you know, I've had a bloody career. Bloody good career, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch.
Exactly, and that's all that matters. The worst one, and there was a few actually, I had... a game in South Africa in around 2013 where we were beating South Africa for the majority of the game. But Sia Khaleesi's first cap, ended up having an altercation with Ebenezer Beth, pushed him in the chest and basically nearly put him through the billboard and got sin binned. And off the back of that, we lost the game. We should have beat South Africa that day. We didn't. There was a red card playing for Gloucester. It's gone viral on the social media platforms this week again. Rugby Dumper posted something about it. It's a little bit of regret for me, you know, the kind of way that that happened, getting red carded and starting a mass brawl, but that needed to happen. I think one of the worst ones for me was not making the 2015 World Cup with Scotland under Vern Cotter.
Vern Cotter, yeah.
And the Vern Cotter gate around that. Like, for me, that 2015 World Cup in England, so obviously effectively at home, well, it was at home, Coventry, and the amount of work that I put in and the amount of sacrifice. I went down the Owen Farrell route as opposed to the Scout Brits that kind of pre-season and the lead-up to that. I was away in Portugal on my own training, and I wanted to make sure that I finished playing for Scotland on my own terms at the 2015 World Cup. We had a really good team. We had a good coach in Vern Cotter. And I got dropped, you know, at the end of the training camp. And they picked a guy called Tim Swinson, who hadn't even been in the training squad. It's quite well documented. And I kind of threw my toys out the pram to the point where I just went in as soon as I was dropped and kind of retired. And I don't regret doing that. I don't regret doing that. It was the right time. I couldn't work with Vern. It was kind of completely untenable. And, you know, effectively, in kind of work terms, I handed in my resignation. And for me, it's not really a regret. I just say it was the lowest part of my career because I was still in my prime, effectively. But you just know when the timing's right to kind of try something else and not be involved in something that you're necessarily involved in.
Well, we gave Burnsy the last word a couple of weeks ago when he came on to talk about the Bath head coach, and he had some spicy words to say. So, Jim, before we let you go and enjoy your evening with your family, do you want to say a couple of words to Vern? He's a listener.
Matt, I know. He follows me around. No, I've already done it over the podcast. It went down like a shit sandwich. I actually made front page news, so I should probably steer away from that. But I think that, for me, I need to speak to Vern face-to-face. I've chickened out of it a couple of times, you know, really.
Let's make it happen in Clapham.
Mate, let's do it there. Let's do it on the common, mate.
Let's get it on the common.
Chassis out, big fight.
Yeah. Jim, thank you so much,
Jim,
mate.
Thank you so much, mate. You're a legend.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Ho, ho, ho. Freddie, that pretty much was Michael Parkinson-esque, that interview.
Well, he was laughing 1 minute. He was
I think we'll get an award for that.
Yeah, he was laughing and crying. He had all the emotions. It was an emotional roller coaster, and it was amazing. He really opened up. What a treat.
There is one thing I realised in that interview.
What's that?
I definitely don't want to go to Coventry.
No, it doesn't sound like a very nice place, does
it? No, I don't know whether I'd go down that well. Have we got a big listenership down in Coventry?
We got quite a few fans down there, yeah. Or yeah, up there, yeah. I should say.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You know, maybe
Where is Coventry?
It's about half an hour outside Birmingham, I believe.
Right,
okay, the Midlands.
Yeah.
Archie, it's always a pleasure to spend time with you, sir.
Yeah.
And I think the listeners, podcast. Let's hope that we're number one for the third week in a row. Guys, thank you so much for your support this season, especially. Yeah. You know, we're doing pretty well, so we're happy. We hope we're making you smile.
Yeah, don't thank them too much. We're doing quite well. I am doing quite a lot for them, you know.
We had quite a lot of questions this week saying, can you ask Archie, you know, now that they may have found a vaccine which works, the stock market seems to be rising once more.
Yeah.
What's your number one stock advice, investment-wise? Where are you putting your money?
Biltong. Biltong. I highly recommend people pumping money into Biltong. It's the future.
Can you do that in the...
I think so, yeah. There's a few companies I've represented over the past couple of months.
Right,
okay. So, yeah.
So, not gold, not oil,
no,
Biltong, not the FTSE.
Meat, yeah.
Just Biltong.
Put your money in while you can.
Well, Archie, it's been a pleasure to spend some time with you,
mate,
again.
It's great.
Thank you so much for your education and your chair.
Guys, you're welcome. You're welcome. And when I'm back from France, we should do Northcote Road.
Mate, definitely. I'm definitely up for that. Let's just remind our listeners.
What, the weekend after?
Yeah. Is that the bank holiday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I may be going down to St. Moore's.
Okay. Well, let's. If you don't, let's definitely do it.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I'll let you know, guys.
We'll just get people to message in. Whoever's around Bank Holiday weekend, let's hit Northcote Road and make it one big rig biz party,
mate. Let's do it. All right.
Imagine they're probably carrying me through like the Northcote Road on their shoulders,
sort of like a Jewish wedding.
I'd be wearing my chief chat officer cap backwards. And they'd all be singing like, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash.
Yeah. CCO.
And I'd just be like waving. And then, you know, and then we'd go to different bars and they'd carry me from places to places.
Feeding you like fruit and biltong.
Yeah, that would be so good. They wouldn't feed. I'd just bring my own biltong. Amazing. Yeah. Let's definitely do that.
Okay.
Well, guys, should we do that?
Shall we do that?
If they were live, they would say, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they'd be chanting CCO.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure they would be. Anyway, guys, don't forget to
Have a good week.
Share, subscribe, like, comment. Yeah. All means a lot. We got some new CCO caps on sale.
Buy the hats.
New hats.
Because that money goes directly in my pocket.
Well, also, make sure that they come and get some personalised videos from the CCO himself.
Yeah, as well. A lot of the videos I do is after a rig session.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm all hot and sweaty. But, you know, the body is ticking and then the mind just flows and the chat is just... like a machine gun.
Well, if you like the image of a hot, sweaty Archie, then you can get a video done for you.
Just like when I was talking to those girls and speed dating, I was like a chat machine gun. And they're like, stop it. And I'm just like, sorry, I can't.
Yeah, okay. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you next week.